You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880. The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Fathers, God's Special Servants. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
During the past generation in the black family, the institution of marriage has been devastated. These are the words used by Newsweek magazine last August. The striking title on this magazine cover boldly announced that among many black families today, there now exists a world without fathers. The authors of this article pointed out that a black child born today has only a 20% chance of growing up in a home with both parents. The family situation today among blacks is indeed serious. However, given enough time, the deteriorating situation among white families will produce exactly the same nightmare. Social statistics now show that before 1950, black and white marriage patterns looked remarkably similar. The status of the black family, however, suffered sooner. The social and spiritual forces, often aided by misguided government programs, which have brought so much suffering upon the black family, are now also undermining marriages and the homes in the white community. It is a popular misconception that immorality and illegitimacy run rampant only in the black community. Not so. In 1988, for the first time ever, the number of babies born out of wedlock in the United States reached an incredible 1 million. And of these 1 million illegitimate babies, over one half were born not to black women, but to white women. And the great proportion of illegitimate children today are born not to white high school girls, but rather to well-educated white working women. In discussions involving illegitimacy, the finger of blame is almost immediately pointed at the woman. But this is not how God sees it. For children to be conceived and born, a man must also be involved. In the eyes of God, therefore, the man is equally and sometimes even more responsible. And so to begin on this special day set aside for husbands and fathers, we begin by paying our respects and showing our appreciation to the many fine and responsible fathers and grandfathers of our land. As a sign of appreciation, some of you may have already received a new shirt or a necktie. Others of you may have received an easy chair or a good book. And still others of you have perhaps received a new lawnmower or a hammer or a saw, as a not-too-subtle signal that there is still work to be done around the house. And after all the gifts are given and the long-distance phone calls of love are completed and when all the clever and cute Father's Day greeting cards are distributed, then there still remains the most important question of all. What does the Bible say about husbands and fathers? And what does God expect of those of you who are fathers and grandfathers? When Jesus Christ was born, our loving Lord gave a gracious example of what He expects of husbands and fathers of every generation. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Angels appeared immediately. Shepherds arrived soon thereafter. And the Bible tells us wise men had traveled from afar, not only to see the baby Jesus, but also to worship this newborn king. All of this made King Herod unbelievably jealous, extremely angry, and very, very suspicious. Herod began to make clever arrangements as to how he might destroy the newborn king of the Jews. God, however, intervened. He had different plans. The Bible says an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child in order to destroy him." Joseph arose, the Bible says, and took the baby Jesus and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. The Bible then explains that after Herod's death, an angel of the Lord appeared again unto Joseph and said, "Arise, and take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are now dead." No artist has ever sketched, and no poet in words has ever fully expressed the love of the Heavenly Father for His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. At Jesus' baptism, the heavens suddenly opened, and a loud voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In some of His final words, Jesus spoke of His intimate relationship with the Father. "He who has seen me," Jesus said, "has seen the Father." Again, Jesus said, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, abiding in me, does His works. Believe me," Jesus said, "that I am in the Father, and the Father in me." This close, inseparable, and intimate relationship between God the Father and God the Son underscores that great love our Heavenly Father also has for you and me, and all of this in spite of our sins and our failures. God so loved the world, the Bible tells us, that He was willing, yes, He was willing to give up His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto a bloody death on the cruel cross. The Apostle John writes, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The many biblical examples of God's love are powerful role models for all fathers today. God expects husbands and fathers to do whatever it takes to ensure the safety and the well-being of their wives and children. When Mary became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, Joseph could have easily and conveniently washed his hands of the entire matter. "I had nothing to do with this," Joseph might have said. Yet an angel of the Lord said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." This is also the time then for many of you delinquent fathers to reconsider the will of God in your situation. If you have fathered children, wherever they are, these children are still your responsibility. Already 10 years ago, over 1 million mothers received only partial child support payments, and over 3 million mothers were receiving no help whatsoever from irresponsible husbands and delinquent fathers. Of course, there are many fathers today also who are not legally delinquent. In the eyes of the law, their status is considered normal. However, in the eyes of God, the way some fathers are treating their children leaves much to be desired. It is true, Joseph did take his wife Mary and the family, and they fled into Egypt for the safety of their son. This is a moving example of love and protection that dedicated fathers can provide for their families. But there are more. Yes, there are many, many more ways that you fathers can help your children. For example, if you as a father exhibit patience and demonstrate forgiveness, then your impact will extend even far beyond your family. Through your children, the local school will experience the results of your dedication, and your community will be greatly blessed with the many benefits produced in a home where the husband carries out his God-given role. At the same time, in homes where families are split, this fracture inevitably produces tears in the home, violence in the schools, and constant disruption in society. In an article entitled, "Two Parents Are Better," Time magazine explains that according to many liberal social engineers today, in order to raise stable children, it is no longer necessary to have two parents in a home. In their liberal opinion, one parent is enough. This same article, however, later also refers to a second study done by the Kettering Foundation and the National Association of Elementary School Principals. This study showed that children from single-parent homes, often homes without fathers, these children showed substantially more absenteeism, more truancy, more discipline problems, more suspensions, and more dropouts. And so, in spite of all the liberal and liberation theories of our day, the two-parent home with a husband and a wife still remains the most God-pleasing arrangement. This is also the situation that is most beneficial to our society. The husband and wife arrangement is not a product of some goofy evolutionary theory. At the beginning of creation, God established the institution of marriage. Men and women are to marry each other. In no way does God ever recognize marriages between the same sex. Inasmuch as it is humanly possible, God also desires that each home have both a husband and a wife. Divorce is not an option that pleases God. Divorce still remains one of the most socially disruptive sins. In the now collapsed Soviet Union, atheistic sociologists had tried to establish a situation where children were shielded as much as possible from the influence of their fathers and mothers. For this purpose, daycare centers were established across the entire Soviet Union. Lenin's wife was one of the very first major promoters of the daycare system. This idea was obviously socialist and certainly utopian. And even though the socialist system collapsed, believe it or not, we now have a sizable and a vocal group of socialist loonies trying to set up a similar socialist situation in the United States and Canada. They are a small group. However, since they often enjoy support of certain sections of the more liberal media, they have a power and an influence far beyond their number. It is not only Christians who are arguing the value of the traditional family. Secular research documents that the presence of the father in the home gives more direction and stability for children than any other substitute could ever provide. The widely read Maclean's Magazine of Canada reports that, and I quote, "Research is showing that fathers are important to the child's development." Involvement of a father in the raising of children, according to these researchers, produces more psychologically and emotionally healthy children. Of course, the mere presence of two parents in a home does not automatically provide an ideal environment. When a psychiatrist from Harvard University visited homes several years ago, he found quite a few children who were sad as a result of the constant arguing by their parents. One child wondered why their gardener was so happy, but her parents were so full of gloom. The number of delinquent fathers has become so great that many states are now starting to jail those who refuse to pay child support. This shame is surely one of the great stains of sin in our society. However, even many other fathers, including those who have been faithful to their families, they also have fallen short. And with all the pressures of modern society, it is difficult to be the father God wants you and me to be. Instead of taking time out for daily evening devotions, you as a father may have found watching television much more convenient. And instead of praying with your children at their bedside, you as a father may find the easy chair a convenient substitute. Oh, there are very few men today who would claim to be, or who would claim to have been, the perfect father. For this reason, it is so essential that on this special day, when we recognize fathers, that we also focus first on the forgiveness that God offers for all of our failures. Those of you fathers who realize that you might have done better, or that you still could do better, it is in the power of the cross of Jesus Christ that there is hope. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has the power to cleanse you from all of your sins and failures. Therefore, I urge you to confess. Yes, confess, my friend, unashamedly, your shortcomings to your Heavenly Father. God will hear you, and your God of grace will forgive your past. He will heal your sin, and God will strengthen your faith. St. John described this great love that God has for you in spite of your failures as a father. The apostle writes, "Behold, what great love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." The apostle Paul explains the special divine blessing given unto all who seek God's grace and forgiveness. St. Paul writes, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And the Bible says, if we are children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." Oh, those of you that are fathers on this your day, you have just heard from the Word of God that God, your loving and gracious Heavenly Father, fervently desires to take you back as His Son in spite of your many sins and many failures. God is extending His arm of forgiveness to you. And in the same way, God is inviting you in turn to extend your hand of sincere and unqualified forgiveness onto your children. This is your day to accept the love, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. And it is also a great and glorious opportunity for the same forgiveness to flow through you to other members of your family. If there are barriers, then by the power of God's forgiveness, break them down. If there are grudges, then bury them. If you have not talked or written to your children recently, then don't delay. Do it today. God has forgiven you in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross has the power to cleanse you from all your sin. And now, by His enabling Spirit, begin also to immediately build a new relationship with your family on this foundation of forgiveness and faith. O Lord, our simple prayer today is, grant this strength for a new start unto all fathers and all families. We pray this in Jesus' intercessory name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.